And welcome to this episode of the Yellow and Blue podcast. It's at the time of recording, this is the end of fourth day between India and England in the final test. So we will talk about the test. I'm joined by Venkat. Hi Venkat, how are you?
Hi Shrini, I'm doing very well, thanks.
How was the weekend?
Yeah, it was awful. It's just made even more awful by the batting and bowling display of India on day four.
Yeah, it's not been a good start to the Monday, definitely. I mean, I went and watched the game yesterday and it was at it first, and it was good, like, you know, to get to watch a bit of India's bowling and a bit of India's batting. The Kohli dismissal, we'll probably come to discuss all of those in good time. But let's have a look before that around what else is happening around the world in terms of other cricket match. While we're staying in England, you know, we mentioned this last week, Owen Morgan is about to announce his retirement. Obviously, that retirement came earlier in the week on Tuesday last week, and Josh Butler has since been named as the captain for the white ball team. I think in some ways it was just a natural transition. It'd be interesting though, like, you know, how Josh Butler captains the team, slightly different than Owen Morgan in terms of he's had a long career and the likes of Joe Root and Stokes, etc., Johnny Bairstow, they've all played under Owen Morgan for a long period of time, whereas Josh Butler's probably played under Joe Root in the Test captaincy format. He's not been captain, so he's not playing under Stokes. So it'll be interesting to see how that dynamics go and how the team carries on.
Yeah, I mean, it will be interesting, definitely. I mean, it's like big shoes to fill on Morgan, but Owen Morgan unfortunately had a bad run. So for a long enough for him to take that decision, I think Josh Butler would be shaping up in the same mold. So let's see how it goes.
Yeah, that is going to be an interesting one. So we'll keep an eye out. I mean, obviously the first team that Josh Butler will lead as captain is against India. Good news there is, like, Rohit Sharma has tested negative on COVID, so he's back as the captain for the first T20 starting Thursday. We'll have a look at the team, because I think both India and England have got different squad for the first T20, because it starts almost 48 hours after the test ends tomorrow, and then the second and the third squad T20 is a slightly different squad, so we'll have a look at those as well. The other cricket being happening world over, Australia in Sri Lanka winning the first test. I think I'm right in saying, you know, they also won the test series last time they toured to Sri Lanka. I may be wrong, but yeah, you would generally think, like, you know, the Australian teams struggle in the subcontinent, but with Nathan Lyon, who got a 5 in the first, and then I think he got 4 in the second. So it's they actually won by 10 wickets. So that's a phenomenal performance by Australia.
Yeah, I mean, yes, you know, you don't have that much depth of the Sri Lanka of the old for them to stand up against Australia. I mean, of course, Murali single-handedly turned things around when he was around. And so now, you know, when you have Angelo Matthews coming in at 4, long story short, Sri Lanka are in the team are a shade of their past self. In Australia always... They have Warner, Khaja, Smith, and world-class bowling.
I know. I mean, I'm a bit surprised, like, you know, in terms of some bowling aside, like, you know, Sri Lanka are struggling against spin. So if you look at the first innings, they lost 8 wickets to, like, you know, Michael Swepson and Nathan Lyon. And that's a bit of a surprise.
Yeah.
Because if you think about players like Karun Ratne, Kusal Mendes, Angelo Matthews, Dinesh Chandimal, you know, Niroshan Dikwala, they all are, you know, you wouldn't say, like, you know, they are inexperienced. They've all had, like, you know, quite a bit of, especially people like, you know, Dinesh Chandimal, Niroshan Dikwala, Angelo Matthews, Kusal Mandil, they've all been there for a long time, you know, so you would think especially born and brought up in those conditions, you know, being able to play spin very well. I'm surprised at how they've lost against spin.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, your Mitchell Starks and Pat Cummins actually rolled them over. It's not like playing in Australia.
I don't know if it's a trend as well, Srini. I mean, subcontinent players are supposed to be historically really good with spin, but I've seen that in India as well. When you have a world-class spinner, you remember Graham Swan used to trouble us at home, India, and then so have some other spinners who have been world-class have always troubled us. So I think it's to do with some of the myth that surrounds that India or subcontinent players are really good. I think we focus too much on pace bowling department, that people coming through are quickies and
that is a good point. I mean, I think what we've seen over the years now is, like, you know, this India used to be like focusing predominantly on spinners, and therefore you go back to the era of the Lakshman and the Dravid and Tendulkar, etc. They were really, really play a good players of spin, because they had grown up playing a lot against spin. They used to be like, you know, we used to have very good batting and playing good at spin and not so much bowling. Whereas you would potentially say the modern day era, so especially in the last 6-7 years, batsmen coming through probably haven't, you know, played so much against spin as they've played against pace. Focus in India, you know, again, there was an interesting interview, or, you know, Ravi Shastri is obviously doing stuff on Sky, and he was talking about how post Virat Kohli came in and said, like, you know, how do we take 20 wickets in the Sena countries, and, you know, we need fast bowlers. So the emphasis shifted on getting, like, you know, fast bowlers in, and therefore a lot of pitches as well in India kind of slightly changed, and the focus was more on fast bowling than on spin, and so the batsmen haven't had that said, you know, we'll probably come about it when we talk about, you know, India's test batting here. You know, there are certain players still who can't play short ball. So, again, in spite of, you know, saying, oh, yeah, they, that is changing. So, look at that. But, yeah, it's really good to see Australia winning and being on top of the test championship table. I think they've got another test. So, we'll see whether Sri Lanka come back or not.
Yeah.
But coming back to then talking about India's test, where shall we begin? I mean, we are at this point at the end of day 4. England need 119 runs to win, and they've got 7 wickets in hand. Johnny Bairstow and Joe Root are still in, both in their 70s.
Yeah, just to summarize, really, one key fact, right? I mean, when I started the game today, when England started, India had about 85% chance of winning, 5% chance of draw, and then 10% chance for England. And now, I think it's roughly about, it's the tables have turned, literally. So just another fact is that, you know, between when England started and today, end of day, they scored 259 runs at 4.54 against Bumrah, Shami, Jadeja, all the top bowlers in the Indian team. So that shows the damage that has been already inflicted. I don't think there's only one team that's going to win, and that's England.
I'm still hopeful, you know. It's obviously the hope that kills, and you still think, yeah, if you get a couple of wickets tomorrow morning quickly, and that couple of wickets, it needs to be both Root and Bairstow. There is still a chance, but you never know until. But you would say probably win versus prediction that, you know, in a sense, at the start of the game this morning,
yeah,
it was India's to lose. Now I think it's England's to lose. That's probably how the game has changed. But in spite of, like, you know, sort of where we are at this point and being disappointed, etc., I think we should go back to, like, you know, the first day and talk about a couple of innings, you know, in terms of Rishabh Pant and Ravindra Jadeja. When the first, I mean, at, what was it, 95 for 5, 98 for 5 when Shreyas Iyer was gone. That's when, like, you know, Jadeja walked in. Obviously, Rishabh Pant walked in a little bit earlier at 71 for 4 when Kohli got out. I think it's fair to say, before the start of the match, you know, I said to you, All India will potentially lose the toss. We'll put it to bat and, like, you know, sort of overcast conditions, and we'll lose about 4 wickets before lunch. We probably didn't lose 4 or 5 wickets before lunch, but it was kind of that sort of thing. I'm not sure, like, what do we do with the Kohli conundrum? I mean, it's been like 2.5 years now, you know, without any kind of substantial contribution, you know, across not just test matches, but, you know, not just across India colours, but I would probably go back to the IPL as well, this year, last year, whatever, ODIs and etc. It just doesn't seem like, you know, you look at some of the shots, etc. It feels like, you know, feels like $1 million, you know, in terms of he seems to be in good form and etc. But the reality still is he seems to be finding ways to get out.
Yeah, I think he has, you know, one too many technical issues outside off stump. The dismissals are fairly similar, just ball, you know, the fifth or sixth stump, ball nipping at a decent pace, and Kohli just, you know, prodding at it, cutting the slips, or inside edge. So I think he needs a break. I was given my call was the let's see how he gets on with this game, having time for acclimatization, not being rushed. They were in here about 10-15 days ahead of schedule. So yeah, everything going right. I mean, you can't complain anything with respect to the preparation or the time off or whatever that is. I think that he had everything with respect to this particular game, and he's still struggling. I think somebody in the board has to say, hey guys, listen, I mean, we need to start thinking beyond. I don't think that's going to likely happen. Just touching on the batting, I mean, it's wrong to blame just Kohli, but then there are not enough technical players. Of course, Rahul and Rohit Sharma not being there is a huge blow. Pant and Jadeja's batting kind of delayed the inevitable almost. If they were out cheaply on the first day, we wouldn't be even, you know, having the test go to 5 days. It would have been over by the time yesterday. So
yeah.
I think we need to look into all those factors. Yes, India definitely needs a lot of work in the test department. Shubham Gill, for example, started off brilliantly and then had to play that shot. So there are a number of factors that you see, you know, even in the Australia test, Pant and all the lower order batsmen rescued us really in a lot of situations. So it's not all is not well with India's batting.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I take all of that, you know, in terms of, but I think in spite of all of this, I think we probably must celebrate, like, you know, sort of Pant's batting, 146 of 111 runs, especially in the circumstances that it came in. He scored a century at the over last time around, you know, when India were here, and then this one, obviously, in between, he scored in Australia, he scored a century in South Africa. So basically, like, you know, he is going and scoring hundreds outside of India. So it's completely out here in UK, you know, there's this whole new buzzword about basketball and, like, you know, Johnny Bairstow's century batting and everything else. And to be fair, you know, that's another thing we must talk about. It's just not about India in terms of Johnny Bairstow's third consecutive century this summer.
Yeah.
Almost back-to-back, well, not almost, like, back-to-back on 3 matches. So he's again in phenomenal form. Root, yeah, you know, it's been like, you know, he's been on a golden run for the last 2 years, pretty much like the time Kohli's been down in the dumps. They've gone in, like, completely different directions. You know, Kohli's batting has gone entirely south, and Root's batting has just gone north. Completely different. Jadeja is another one, like, you know, can't remember what it was like. I don't know. He got out in the 90s. You know, he was close to 100. Yeah. Once he got his first 100, was it against Sri Lanka, isn't it? He got his first 100. And now, then he's got his second 100 in all, or 100 outside of India. He played a what I would call a very, very mature innings. On what he didn't kind of go toe to toe with the way Rishabh Pant was going. Rishabh Pant was taking the attack down, and then Jadeja was just playing second fiddle. And then in the end, like the next day morning, he kind of calmly carried with the tail to make sure he got. Talking about,
Got it. Yeah.
talking about tail, we shouldn't forget to, like, in all of these things, there are a few things that we should remember about is Jasprit Bumrah's 35 run or Stuart Broad's 35 run over, world record over.
Yeah, there was some hilarious tweets coming out of it. I think Lara said welcome to the club or something like that. Yeah, there were a number of
Yeah,
other players who chimed in as well.
the thing is, like, that the highest was 28 runs that Lara scored against Peterson previously.
Yeah.
But this game, not only did, like, the 35 runs, but 29 of that actually came from
Go
Bumrah's bat.
back. Yeah.
So literally just, forgetting the no ball and the five wides, he actually scored more runs than Lara did in those. So he still got a world record just off his own bat. I'm not sure what Broad must be thinking, after that Yuvraj over went for six sixes. Now he's got the world record for, like, most runs in an over.
In T20, as
Yeah,
well as
at least in T20 he's got, like,
joint.
he's got company with a fair few. I think Pollard hit six sixes earlier
Yeah.
against Sri Lanka, so he's got company in terms of, there are other people. But this one, he's now, strange enough, he literally just picked up his 550th wicket, and after a long wait, he picked up his 550th wicket, another landmark milestone tick. And then he got this record of going away and giving 35 runs.
Yeah, I think this will be one that will be remembered. But I think most of all that will be forgotten if England managed to draw the series, and India will be those things will be forgotten. It was incredible. It was good drama for us to watch. It was incredible scenes. Yeah, and another thing I want to kind of focus on is India's fielding as well. I think a couple of misfields, drop catches, punt dropped, Bairstow one, Hanuma Vihari dropped one. It was just, if you do have so many drops of that kind of player, you're going to inevitably lose the game.
Yeah, I think they got away with dropping Stokes twice in a
Yeah.
few deliveries in the
Yeah.
first innings. Bumrah took that outstanding catch. So it was like they got away with that.
I think almost if Stokes didn't get out, or if England didn't get out to the score they did, this match would have more likely to have been a draw, in my
Yeah.
opinion. I think England started losing wickets at the right time for their own good. So, yeah, so I think literally for their own good. I mean, I think they got out at the right time. Yeah, but anyway.
Talking about second innings, I know Chetheshwar Pujara got 66 and Rishabh Pant, 57. Again, Rishabh Pant batted very well. The thing that I liked more actually was late yesterday evening, when Joe Root was brought in bowling, he had such a calm head. He didn't go after Joe Root, he didn't
Yeah.
chase him, and starting today morning as well, he stood and let him go, and he played a lot offensively. I think from that perspective, you see, how much Rishabh Pant's matured. Even though we know, he's got about five or six 90s. I think the most that anybody has got out in the 90s is probably about twice. He's got about six scores of 90s. That kind of shows, he's missed out on 600s, really.
Yeah.
But he's definitely got, a lot more mature head currently
Yeah,
in terms
definitely.
of.
I mean, it is good to see the first and second innings to a large extent. Yes, of course. Sometimes I think he's intelligent, calculative, as we all know. He was trying to play the field. It might look like a rash shot, but if you look at the dismissal and the deliveries before that, I think England really did well to tie him down. And so he was forced to get the game moving on. and perish in that cause. And you can't expect your top four or five actors to fail and every time be rescued by five, six, and seven. That's not going to happen. Although we wish that's the case. I mean, yeah.
I mean, the difference in attitude in terms of in batting, you know, if you go back to that first innings, when they had four slips, Senegali, people like, you know, Hanuma Vihari, Shubman Gill, Chetishan Pujar, etc., they were trying to make sure that they didn't nick it to those slips, and that's what they were trying to play against. Whereas when Rishabh Pant came, he looks at the front and thinks, oh, there's so much gap to, like, you know, hit and get boundaries. He's not looking behind him to look at the slips. He's looking at front and saying, there's so much gap, I just hit there, you know, there's a boundary, etc. So it's different approach to batting. I mean, some of the shots hitting six over, like, you know, long on, long off, single-handed, you know, falling down and all sorts of, he looks ugly, but what counts in the end is the fact that, you know, he scored 146. That's probably, you know, what counts. It doesn't matter that some of the shots he's playing looks ugly, etc. It's runs is the currency, and that's essentially what it counts. Bowling today, like, you know, once India were bowled out. I mean, Shreyas Iyer, I don't know what you make of him, you know, in terms of, I just think he can't play short bowling. He just reminds me of right-handed Suresh Raina.
He has no place in the test team at any point in time.
Outside of India.
Outside of India, yes, of course. Even in India, if you had this kind of flaw, I think this, like if, let's say, New Zealand tour, Kyle Jameson would definitely bounce him.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, you know, in terms of actually his, so if you think about it, you know, in terms of batting in India, where he's probably going to score a lot of runs.
Yeah. I mean, I think there is also security for in other formats for against the short ball, because you're one more likely to go for runs. And then they allowed only one bouncer and this and that. Whereas in test, it is even Stevens, you can place fielders around the deep, grounds are slightly bigger, the batsmen, I mean, the bowlers have time to plan. And I think today was a classic display. It was not like, you know, he just was caught unaware. The fielding plan was very clear, and that's what bothers me. Is that if you can't play it, at least move out, get hit, whatever that is, you know that there are three or four fielders. Jimmy Anderson was not in a conventional position. He was between deep square leg and square leg. And he was just three-fourths, like what we play in club cricket. It was all unorthodox positions, and he just played into their hands. And so it was not good viewing. And especially when you are a passionate Indian fan, you feel hurt even more. But
if you actually look at his average, I know the sample size is very, very low. He's only played, you know, his fifth test game, so the sample size is very low. But if you look at it, he's played four tests in India and he's averaging over 55. And then the one test he played in England, he's averaging 17. Now, you would say, well, one test is not a sample size, but the reality is, like, It's fairly clear, like, you know, he can't play the short ball. He just can't play the short ball. And this was seen in the IPL as well. You know, he was struggling to play the short ball. And the moment he, again, I think we saw on the TV today, in terms of literally as soon as he came into bat, Brendan McCullum, who was his coach at KKR just a few weeks ago in IPL, straight away said, put two people out there, start bowling short ball. You know, you can't. And in some ways, it kind of shows you, like, you know, how the IPL helps opposition as well in terms of, because...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know your technique, your weakness, everything is amplified and everybody knows what it is. But what one thing, again, you know, just coming back to that kind of... England bowling is not super quick. These are not Mark Wood, Jofra Archer territory.
Yeah.
Or even, you know, Pat Cummins territory. I think this is what you would term fairly fast, but not, you know, really fast enough for you to induce a mistake, and no chance.
Yeah, I think Matthew Potts is slightly quick, but it's not, like, you know, sort of what you would really say.
Yeah.
Mark Wood sort of, you know, territory?
No, definitely not. Yeah.
So, bottom line, I mean, look forward to tomorrow, as I said.
Yeah, one thing I'm very disappointed is also the weather. It rained on all days, but it didn't rain on the day when it really mattered. So I'm a bit disappointed about that fact as well. Where's the rain when somebody said if BCCA can arrange for a flight, where they douse the forest fires, they can suck a little water over Birmingham.
Just get some showers over Edge Boston tomorrow morning would be good. but yeah, fun aside, I think, I mean, again, hope, it's the hope, as they say, the hope, you know, kills. But so, this is not the first time. You think back to the last South Africa test, it was the same thing, you know, we bowled poorly. England openers actually scored 100 runs in like 20 point something overs, which is apparently the fastest 100 the openers have scored ever in like test history, since like, you know, they've started to having records of how many balls or how many overs it takes. I think the previous record was 20.3 overs or something like that. Atherton and Gooch, etc. But this is, so that kind of shows, I mean, for all that, you know, Bumrah and Shamir are great, really, really top class bowlers, you know.
Yeah, I think, fielding as well, positioning, this shows the maturity of Jasprit Bumrah. I would, without batting an eyelid, said, Kohli, just go and lead the side. It's all right. You know, it's time. Or, you know, have Rishabh Pant lead, at least, because as a keeper, you're more. Jasprit Bumrah was caught short, I would say, in terms of going for the attack, leaking runs. I think, you know, you can't allow that many runs to be scored from the opening bowling. Now, the opening bowling was a bit lackluster.
Yeah, I think, I don't know whether, like, you know, they didn't do the basics properly and, you know, sort of started chasing the wickets right from the first 10, 15 overs, if you like. Now, the speed at which Alex Lees, when you know, before the start of this summer, you know, playing in West Indies, he couldn't buy a run. I mean, he struggled to, like, you know, score runs. He was that defensive. He was so slow. But since the start of, you know, this, again, this bass ball, if you like, you know, he's been really going after the batting. And he was the one that started, you know, Zach Crowley. I wouldn't say he's playing for his place at the minute, because McCullum and Stokes have come out and said, like, no, he's still got South Africa too. So that's the kind of confidence that's been given to him, so he can play and, you know, things like that. But Johnny Bairstow, my God, you know, both he's in that previous, it's just not the fact that, you know, he's scoring hundreds that apart. It's just the way that he's batting. It's almost like, you know, he's batting with a complete disdain to the bowlers. You know, he's just swatting balls to boundaries in sixes. The shots are not like, he's neither taking a very long time, or he's just playing as if he's playing in a T20.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the closest I can think anybody I've seen with that audacity and calmness, although Johnny Bairstow is a little bit more angrier, is Virender Sehwag. Exactly. I mean, without any, if you get beaten, so be it. If there is a drop catch, so be it. They still go. I think that is what I see in terms of the technique as well. Both are technically correct in a lot of aspects. And you know, what I saw about Bairstow in the first innings, especially, some of the shots were so clean and crisp. And you can't, as a bowler, you know, it's not the four that goes, but it's the way you're being dealt with sometimes puts dents the confidence of the bowler. And I think that plays a huge part in how he is able to build up the innings, plus the fact that he can run at a million miles an hour. There's a lot of positives going for him.
Yeah, so that's where the test is.
Lack of genuine spinners as well in India helped. A couple of drop matches.
I mean, it's a good point you touched. We didn't touch about Ashwin at all. Like, you know, he's obviously been on tour for all five tests and not played any of the five tests. It's a difficult one to say, like, you know, if looking up at in hindsight, you know, would he have performed worse than Shardul Thakur both in batting and bowling? Surely not. You know, he would have bowled as good as Shardul Thakur did in the first and possibly second innings. And similarly, from a batting perspective, like Shardul Thakur didn't score much. You know, Ashwin probably would have got a few more. So that's, yeah. There's a few things though that's kind of, no, I don't think Ashwin's probably going to come back for another England tour. I doubt there is going to be another Kohli versus Anderson duel. This is probably the end of it.
Yeah, that's
Kohli
all
might
that.
Come back the next time, but I don't think Anderson will be still around until that point.
I was going to say the other way is really, I think Kohli might return from tests or dropped, whereas Anderson keeps going for one more. But yeah, that was a joke. On a serious note, yeah, we all know. I think this is this is one of mission for Anderson was to, you know, kind of make sure that this one and probably one more Ashes.
Yeah, I think again the T20 World Cup is a while ago, but I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, he's not going to be dropped from Test, but I would potentially now look at replacing Kohli from the T20 team.
Yeah.
You can look at Johnny Bairstow, but Joe Root, you know, similarly. Joe Root doesn't actually get selected for England's T20 team because it simply is like, you know, time to move on from him. Whether he gets runs or not in the test and the white ball, I think the T20 team definitely has to move on. So it's a good for us way to segue in, you know, moving away from the test team, talking about the squad for the first and the, because there are two different squads that's been announced. Kohli is not in the squad for the first T20. It's due to start on Thursday. Or he is in the squad for the second and the third T20. If I was a selector, I probably wouldn't pick Kohli at all for any of the T20s here in England.
Yeah.
He would, yeah, but almost start preparing, if you like, for the series ahead and the World Cup, essentially. And I said this probably a few weeks ago, probably the end of the IPL, etc. Kohli will definitely not be in my plans for, obviously, you know, Indian selectors probably might think differently, but in terms of going to Australia, I don't think...
No, I think it is also to do with the number of bombs on the seat, as they say. If Kohli doesn't play, I mean, there is a lot of, you know, even this test, there's so much of revenue attached with the big names. He is almost like a performer, the show man almost, and a bit I think at some point in time the actual performance will start to matter, and probably that's the reason why you have, you know, pressure from the boards or God knows what, you know, to have him being the playing 11, because you've seen how he is in the field riling up support, and people do turn up to watch Kohli. So
yeah. All that being said, you know, when India go to the World Cup in Australia, it is they are irrelevant. You know what, whether people turn up to watch Kohli or not, because the whole idea is to win the World Cup. It's not about, like, you know, the BCCI making money. They're not going to be, or the Australian or the ICC sort of thing.
Yeah.
If this sort of, you know, I said, I think the Ireland tour itself, it is time. It is high time, like, you know, India sort of finalized their 15. In the next few matches, have got to be literally, like, you know, the 15 or 17, whatever number that's going to go. And I just don't think Kohli is, leave the bowling. You know, if you think, like, you know, there's probably about 8 or 9 batsmen that are going to go, to Australia, Kohli wouldn't probably been there. I mean, let's look at it. Like, you know, you would say Rohit Sharma, you would say
Rahul,
KL Rahul. Ishan Kishan, Hardik
Pandya,
Suryakumar Yadav, Dinesh Karthik.
Of course.
You know, if you don't pick people like, you know, sort of Deepak Hooda or who else do you,
I think Jadeja, I don't know, you know, does he fit into T20 squad?
Definitely. I think Ravindra Jadeja would definitely...
Just for fielding.
That in itself, you know, he would probably save a few runs.
Save about 10-15 in a game, which is huge. Yes, of course. If you look at, let's look at the batters, right? You said Rohit, Rahul, Ishan Kishan, Surya Kumar Yadav, Dinesh Kartik.
Yeah, people like Ritaraj Gaikwad, Hardik Pandya, obviously.
Hardik Pandya, yes. Hardik Pandya, and then probably, yeah, Kartik for the
So
player.
they, I don't see like where Kohli fits into that mold. Shubman Gill is again, he's had an outstanding IPL in that sense. So again, if you're picking up Shubman Gill, he may not necessarily make it to open because you would probably go with Ishan Kishan, Ritaraj Gaikwad, Rohit Sharma, and Rahul. One of those four are the ones that are probably going to open. Surya Kumar Yadav. I just don't think, Kohli, it's what time Kohli sort of gracefully moves on from the T20. He might think like, yeah, he's still got in there to score and things like that, but I don't think he can justify being higher than some of these players.
No, absolutely.
If you look at that, sort of thing, the ODI, yeah, I would say like, the ODI, it's a bit different. 50 overs long term format, looking up to 2023 World Cup in India, I would probably still pay. I mean, it's almost like a bit like how Sachin Tendulkar played on,
Yeah.
obviously he played on past the 2011 World Cup, but he was till the 2011 World Cup. I would probably say Virat Kohli, yeah, till the 2023 World Cup, and at that point, probably the team starts to move away from him in terms of the ODI as well. And fingers crossed, if he's come back into form by then, he continues in test, but I can't see him being brought between now and the World Cup, which is kind of less than a year away. So
Yeah.
these definitely not on the T20 World Cup. I wouldn't even like, I know he's in the squad for the second and the third T20. Bumps on squad and all of those things. India need to start thinking about the World Cup and pick a team that they're
Yep.
likely to play in that first World Cup match, and that's probably what they need to look at. In other cricketing news, Indian women are playing great. At least that's one good thing. They obviously won against Sri Lanka in a one day match. But if they lead the series 2-0, they've got one more game to go. But it's good to see them winning, and that's
Yep,
the other side of it,
absolutely. It sweetened the losses that we are encountering or will
Yeah.
encounter. And they have performed absolutely wonderful. I think the second game, especially, where it was a very dominant performance from both the
Yeah,
openers.
10 minute cricket, they don't come in often. Even, I mean, 174 is all I think they had to chase, but Shefali Verma and Smriti
Mandana.
Mandhana, they both scored, like, I think Mandhana scored 94 and Shefali 71. So it's good batting. That's they're going under the radar. I mean, hopefully we'll see them soon here in England, coming up for the Commonwealth Games not far away, due to start in like, what, 4 weeks' time now. So yeah, well, not even 4 weeks, less than that. It's what, 3 weeks' time, I think, it's due to start. So we'll see the Indian women here in England. So all the best for them. This is probably a good preparation. They won the T20i as well in Sri Lanka, and then they won the ODI series now with one more game to go. Once they finish that, they will come over here to the Commonwealth, and we'll be look forward to seeing them here. That'll be interesting in terms of the games. Let's hope India progress to the finals and possibly even win a medal in there. Now it might still come down to India, Australia, England, South Africa, probably in terms of the semi-finals for the Commonwealth. But we'll look at the squad and then in the next couple of weeks or so. So time to wrap up this on a hope that that India might pull off something tomorrow, but I'm not so quite confident, though, as I'm saying it, looking at Johnny Bairstow and Joe Root's batting. But again, as I said, it's the hope that keep on, we keep going back to Indian cricket. It's however good or
But
bad they play,
else.
will keep coming in. So
Yeah, it is all right. I mean, we kind of the problem is we've spoken this, but it's the expectation and the hope, as you said. If it was India team about 5-10 years back, we would not have even had this much help, you know. But the thing is, we kind of managed to snatch defeat from victory's jaws. But anyway, let's hope positive thinking and good vibes and all that. Let's see what happens tomorrow. It's an interesting day of cricket.
So anyway, until next week, it's Shrini and Venkat bidding you goodbye. If you like this podcast, do rate us on Spotify or any other platform with which you get it. Do message us on Twitter, our handle is Yellow One Blues, and follow us on Twitter. Until next time.